of the dwarf persuasion? Cheery didn't bother to answer. There was no use denying it. Somehow people could tell if you were a dwarf just by looking at you.
Arsenic is a very popular poison, said the patrician. Hundreds of uses around the home. Crushed diamonds used to be in vogue for hundreds of years, despite the fact they never worked. Giant spiders, too, for some reason. Mercury is for those with patience. Aquafortis for those without. Cantharides has its followers. Much can be done with the secretions of various animals. The bodily fluids of the caterpillar of the quantum weather butterfly will render a man quite helpless. But we return to arsenic like an old friend. There was a drowsiness in the patrician's voice.
Is that not so, young veterinari?
Yes, indeed, sir. Correct. But where, then, shall we put it, seeing that all will look for it?
In the last place they will look, sir.
Wrong. Foolish. We put it where no one will look at all.
The voice faded to a murmur. The bed linen, Cheery thought, even clothes, into the skin, slowly. Cheery hammered on the door. A guard opened it.
Get another bed.
What?
Another bed from anywhere, and fresh bed linen.
He looked down. There wasn't much of a carpet on the floor, even so in a bedroom where people might walk with bare feet.
And take away this rug and bring another one.
What else? Detritus came in, nodded at Cheery, and looked carefully around the room. Finally, he picked up a battered chair.
This'll have to do, he said. If he want, he can break the back off it.
What? Said Cheery.
Old Donut said for to get a stool sample, said Detritus, going out again.
Cheery opened his mouth to stop the troll and then shrugged. Anyway, the less furniture in here, the better. And that seemed about it, short of stripping the wallpaper off the wall. Sam Vimes stared out of the window. Veterinari hadn't bothered much in the way of bodyguards. He had used, that is, he still did use, food tasters. But that was common enough. Mind you, Veterinari had added his own special twist. The tasters were well paid and treated, and they were all sons of the chief cook. But his main protection was that he was just that bit more useful alive than dead, from everyone's point of view. The big, powerful guilds didn't like him, but they liked him in power a lot more than they liked the idea of someone from a rival guild in the oblong office. Besides, Lord Veterinari represented stability. It was a cold and clinical kind of stability, but part of his genius was the discovery that stability was what people wanted more than anything else. He'd said to Vimes once, in this very room, standing at this very window,
"They think they want good government and justice for all, Vimes, yet what is it they really crave deep in their hearts? Only that things go on as normal and tomorrow is pretty much like today."
Now Vimes turned round.
"What's my next move, Fred?"
"Dunno, sir."
Vimes sat down in the patrician's chair. "Can you remember the last patrician?"
"Old Lord Snapcase? And the one before him? Lord Winder? Oh, yeah. Nasty pieces of work they were. At least this one didn't giggle or wear a dress."
The past tense, thought Vimes. It creeps in already. Not long past, but already very tense.
"It's gone very quiet downstairs, Fred," he said. "Plotting don't make a lot of noise, sir, generally. Veterinari's not dead, Fred."
"Yes, sir, but he's not exactly in charge, is he?"
Vimes shrugged. "No one's in charge, I suppose."
"Could be, sir. There again, you never know your luck."
Colin was standing stiffly to attention, with his eyes firmly fixed on the middle distance and his voice pitched carefully to avoid any hint of emotion in the words. Vimes recognised the stance. He used it himself when he had to.
"What do you mean, Fred?" he said.
"Not a thing, sir. Figure of speech, sir."
Vimes sat back. This morning, he thought, I knew what the day held. I was going to see about that damn coat of arms. Then there was my usual meeting with Veterinari. I was going to read some reports after lunch. Maybe go and see how they're getting on with the new watch house in Chitling Street and have an early night. Now Fred's suggesting...
What? "Listen, Fred, if there is to be a new ruler, it won't be me."
"Who'll it be, sir?"
Colon's voice still held that slow, deliberate tone.
"How should I know? It could be..."
The gap opened ahead of him, and he could feel his thoughts being sucked into it.
You're talking about Captain Carrot?